Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2019, and I'm presenting three great episodes for you tonight. I think you'll enjoy all three. I thought I'd come on and introduce them. My old intros are going to be on here. I talk about the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl, which, of course, was 5 years ago. Then I think my other podcasts might be from 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Well, it can't be 15, I don't think. 10. But anyway, there are some of my older ones. But they're not too bad, so I thought I'd go ahead and keep those. One thing I thought I would point out, at the very beginning of after my intro on the Phil Harris Show, you'll hear just a snippet of the Phil Harris Show that I didn't cut out, that I should have. Well, and so I decided to leave it, because that's what I presented to you last time. I presented this 5 years ago. Now we have a huge sound upgrade that happened. I'd love it when we sound upgrade so far. And it's a completely different listening experience. And so you'll hear it restart then, just like 2 seconds, 3 seconds into it. And you'll hear the volume come up, and you'll hear it just sound better and clearer. And then it gets clearer and clearer as the episode goes. So I'm excited about that. Our third episode tonight is an absolute classic episode, because it has Rochester punching Jack Benny as part of the episode. And there was a huge backlash, and I'll talk about that when we get in there, but I just thought I'd make sure I mention that so people make sure they stay tuned for that last episode. And it's Jack getting ready to fight Fred Allen, which is a fun little story arc too. So I hope you enjoy, like I say, all three episodes are all great. If you haven't donated to the podcast, we're having kind of a little mini donation fund drive here up until Jack's birthday on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. And if you can donate, that would be wonderful. You just come to, well, where should you go to? I guess the easiest way probably is just go into your search engine, whatever one you have, and type in Jack Benny Podcast. Will probably be the first one that comes up, and you just can just click on that. It'll take you there, and on the right-hand side, there's all different ways you can donate if you want. Or if you're going to the Judy Garland site and want to donate that way, you can go to just type in Judy Garland Podcast. The first one that comes up will take you there. Again, on the right-hand side is the donation tabs. If you're going to donate a dollar or less, well, I don't think you can donate less than a dollar, but a dollar a month, I'd prefer you do it through Patreon, because they collect it all together, and so they end up taking about 10 cents, and I get 90 cents. If you do it through PayPal at the dollar level, because they still take the same percentage or whatever, well, the same amount of money. So it ends up being that they take about 40 cents and I get about 60 cents. So that's not as fair of a cut. So that would be great. But once you get to about $2 or $3 that you're donating a month, it doesn't matter which way you go. They're both pretty similar. So if you'd rather go through PayPal or Patreon, either way is fine. Also, you can always email me at buckbennyotr@gmail.com if you'd like to donate that way. Did a major upgrade to our storage system, so we're going to have lots of storage that we can have access to, and it's much more convenient for me. It just works out really well, but it did cost us a pretty penny to do that, so I could use a little bit to help pay off that pretty penny. Anyway, without further ado, here is some wonderful Jack Benny. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next time. Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1948-1949 season. This episode is the second episode in our three-episode arc about Don's contract. These contract arcs don't do too much for me. People always tell me, why am I so positive about all the shows? Well, these ones I'm not as positive on. I don't know. It just seems strange for people to be complaining about how much money they make, who make a lot more money than a lot of people at this time in history. And I know it's just joking around and all that, but still, it just is a little tone deaf, in my opinion. But anyway, let's move off of Jack Benny and get on to the real story. How about those Seahawks, huh? Wow. They scored about every way a team can score. They scored a safety. They scored. They ran the ball back on a kickoff and scored. They ran the ball in and scored on a running play. They scored on a passing play. They scored on an interception. I think the only thing they didn't score on was a punt. And it's awful hard to score on a punt. But everything else they scored on, which is crazy. And I predicted that they were going to win by 15 points. Well, they more than doubled that. And Harvin, of course, had that incredible run back. I told you Harvin was going to be great. Anyway, great game. Wow, my Seahawks won the Super Bowl. I still can't believe it. Anyway, I hope you enjoy tonight's episode of the Jack Benny Show. And next week, Jack has as guests Claudette Colbert and Vincent Price. So that should be fun for next Tuesday night. Enjoy.
61. The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Feeling low.
Feeling tense.
These 8 words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Your level best. That's just how you'll feel when you light up a lucky, because Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best.
It's important to know that fine tobacco can do this for you. And
LSMFT, LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, smooth, mild, thoroughly enjoyable tobacco.
So next time you buy cigarettes, remember, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense. Put you on the lucky level where you feel your best and do your best. Yes,
smoke a lucky to feel your level best.
The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Don Wilson, and yours truly, Dennis Day. Open the program this week because last week Mr. Benny locked Don Wilson in the den and won't let him out till he signs his new contract. So let's go out to Jack Benny's house in Beverly Hills where we... Wait a minute. Who's that coming up the walk? Gee, it's me. Hello, Rochester.
Oh, hello, Mr. Day. Come on in.
Thanks. Say, Rochester, is Don Wilson still locked in the den?
Yeah, Mr. Benny won't let him out till he signs the contract.
Gee, I'll never forget the time I wouldn't sign my contract and he locked me in a room for almost 2 years.
He did?
Yeah, then he went around telling everybody I was in the Navy.
Oh, well, how'd you finally escape from the room? Who got you out?
MacArthur.
Well, I'll tell Mr. Benny you're here. He's in the den talking to Mr. Wilson.
What is it, Rochester?
Dennis Day is here.
Tell him to wait. I'll be out in a minute. Now, look, Don. Don, we've gone over this contract 10 times a day for a whole week, and still you won't sign it. Now, what is it you want?
Water. Water. Give me a glass of water. I'm so thirsty.
Then why are you stubborn? All you have to do is sign the contract. But no, you just stand there with your back to me. Now, Don, turn around. I want you to face me.
Sure. You know that when I look into your big blue eyes, I'm like putty in your hands.
Now, that's ridiculous, Don. What would I do with 290 pounds of putty?
But, Jack, I don't weigh 290 pounds anymore. You starved me for a week.
Say, Don, you do look as though you lost weight. Why don't you weigh yourself?
I can't. I put my last penny in your peanut machine.
Oh.
That salt is murder. Water! Water! Water!
You'll get it as soon as you sign the contract. I'll see you later.
But, Jack, I haven't been on the program for 2 weeks. What are you going to tell the sponsor?
I've already told him, Don, and he's very happy. He thinks you're in Kentucky picking tobacco.
Did he believe it?
He must have. He sent you an old straw hat. I'll see you later, Don. What a stubborn guy. Oh, well. Feeling low, feeling tense. These eight words are common sense. Smoke a lucky. To feel your level best. Smoker! Oh, hello, Dennis.
Goodbye.
Goodbye? What do you mean, goodbye?
When you came in singing, I thought I was out of a job.
Now, that's silly, Dennis. You and I work so well together. Why, I wouldn't have such a good program without you.
Well, that's funny. I have a wonderful program without you.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And you know, Dennis...
Oh, boss, boss!
What is it, Rochester?
It's Polly again. Her cold seems to be getting worse.
Oh, my poor parrot. Rochester, didn't you do anything for her?
Yeah, all morning I've been giving her four-way cold tablets.
What happened?
She laid a square egg.
How could she do that?
It wasn't easy.
Well, let's go in and take a look at her. Hello, Polly.
Polly got a cold. Polly got a cold.
Poor Polly. Polly want a cracker?
Polly want to die.
Gesund.
Gesund?
Yeah, we don't mention height in this house. Gee, poor Polly has such a bad cold. Polly, not with my tie. Rochester, I think I'll rub some camphorated oil on her chest.
If you want to do that, boss, you'll have to take off her mustard plaster first.
Oh, yes. Come here, Polly. Daddy wants to take that mustard plaster off your chest. Hold still. Hold still. Now, don't be nervous. Polly, stop carrying on. Daddy didn't hurt you.
I think you did, Mr. Benny. Look at all those feathers stuck to the mustard plaster.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Polly. I didn't know your feathers would stick to it. I'll get it, Rochester. Feeling low, feeling low. Oh, hello, Mary. Come on in.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. You getting dressed to go out?
No, why?
You've got your toupee in your hand.
That's a mustard plaster. Polly's feathers are stuck on it.
Well, looks better than the thing you wore last night.
Last night?
What a toupee. The part went from ear to ear.
Mary, it just happened that someone yelled, "Hey, Jack," and I turned my head too fast. Now, come on in.
Say, Jack.
What?
I just talked to my sister Babe over the phone, and she feels awful. She's heartbroken.
Your sister Babe? Why?
Tyrone Power got married.
Well, what's she heartbroken about? Your sister Babe doesn't even know Tyrone Power.
Well, that's why she's so upset. For 2 years, she's been writing him love letters signed Linda Christian, and look what happened.
Well, your sister ought to get wise to herself. I remember the time she wrote a letter to Artie Shaw, and it wasn't even her turn yet. What a girl.
Well, Jack, you can't blame Babe. After all, she's not getting any younger, and she'd like to get married.
I know.
And she's really trying. She's been going to a beauty parlor every day for the past month.
Well, is it doing any good?
I don't think so. Yesterday, when she was out in the snow, a plane flew over and dropped her a bale of hay.
Good old Babe. I knew she could get it. Say, Mary, let's go into the library. I want to see how Polly's getting along.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mary.
Dennis, where's Polly?
She's up on the chandelier.
What?
Ah, my son, my son.
Oh, Polly, get off of there. That's a light bulb. Imagine trying to hatch a light bulb. Polly, didn't your mother ever tell you about the people and the bees? Now come down to Daddy and stop flying around. What you need is rest. Get back in your cage and go to sleep.
You want me to sing to her, Mr. Benny?
Sing to her?
Yeah, I just recorded a lullaby for RCA Victor, and I thought you and Polly might like to hear it.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, go ahead, kid. Go ahead.
Claritana. Play peek-a-boo with a star. Hush-a-bye, baby, when shadows creep. Dreamland is not very far.
And go back to sleep. Dennis, that was a wonderful song, and you sang it beautifully.
Oh, stop repeating yourself.
What?
You said the same thing to Kenny Baker 12 years ago.
Well, look, if you don't want me to compliment you anymore, why just... Mary, answer the phone, will you?
Okay. Hello? Mr. Benny's residence. Mary, the upstairs maid speaking.
Mary.
Who's calling, please?
Hiya, Livy. You one little warm spot that's left in California.
Oh, hello, Phil. When'd you get back from Washington?
Holy smoke, is that where I was?
Phil, you know where you were.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let me talk to Jeannie with the light green money.
Jack, it's Phil. He wants to talk to you.
Oh. Hello, Phil. When'd you get back?
I blew into town Friday.
What train?
No train, just blew in.
It hasn't been that windy. Say, Phil. Phil, how'd you enjoy yourself at the inaugural ball?
I had a wonderful time. Say, Jackson, did you see the picture in the paper of Alice with President Truman?
Yes, yes, I did. Why didn't the president pose with you?
I'm from the South, son. No! Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but the inaugural ball was great, Jackson. You know, it's amazing how them dignified senators and congressmen let themselves go at a dance. They do the latest steps. I even saw Senator Pepper doing the rumba.
The rumba?
Yeah, you know that Pepper ain't a bad shaker. Oh, Harris, your wit is exceeded only by your natural beauty.
Beauty? Phil. Phil. Buttons and booze. What else did you do on the trip?
What else? Didn't you hear me? I was on Fred Allen's program.
No, I... Wait a minute, Phil. You were on Fred Allen's program?
Yeah.
Well, you and Fred should make a wonderful combination. Ham hocks and vinegar puss. Brother, what a dull time you must have
had. All right, hold it, Jackson. Calm down, Dad. Wait a minute. That Allen's a pretty clever comedian. He gets big laughs.
Well, it's easy to get laughs if you do what he does. He tells a joke, lifts up the bag under his right eye, and there's a life-size picture of Milton Berle. Look, Phil, outside of appearing with radio's only sponsored post-nasal drip, how did you enjoy New York?
Oh, it was exciting. And Jackson, you should have seen Manhattan. It's amazing.
Why?
They got snow just like here.
I know, Phil, I know. We ship our big flakes east. Each one is stamped sun-kissed on there. Incidentally, Phil, my picture opened in New York yesterday. Did you see the ads for it? It's called The Lucky Stiff. It's a comedy mystery.
The Lucky Stiff? Are you in it?
No. It stars Dorothy L'Amour, Brian Dunleavy, and Claire Trevor. I happen to be the producer. I'm the one who put up the money.
You put up the what?
The money. Now, Phil. Phil. Phil.
Hello?
Who are you?
I'm the bartender in this joint. Your friend fainted.
Oh, that's a shame.
If you like, I'll talk to you until the nickel is used up.
Never mind. He called me. Goodbye. What a fellow. Say, Mary. Mary, I've got to go to a meeting pretty soon, a very important meeting, so why don't you... Uh-oh, I guess Don Wilson wants me.
Jack, for heaven's sake, have you still got Don locked in the den?
Mary, it's his own fault. All he has to do is sign the contract, and he's a free man. Now, isn't that simple?
Yes, Warden.
Never mind.
Gee, Mr. Benny, why don't you let him out?
I'm not going to let him out until he signs the contract. And that reminds me, Dennis.
What?
In a couple of weeks, you come up for a new contract.
Anchors away, my boys, anchors away.
Dennis.
Farewell to college joys, we sail at break of day.
Dennis, that's enough. And don't be funny.
Well, I gotta run along now.
Why, what's your hurry?
Well, I've gotta go to Wilshire Boulevard and get on a bus and ride a block, and then I get on another bus and ride a block, and then I get on another bus and ride a block, and then I get on another bus
minute.
And...
Wait a minute. Why do you have to get on all those buses?
Well, yesterday I left my hat on one of them.
Well, bon voyage. What a kid. Say, Mary, I've got to go to the meeting now.
Okay, I'll walk as far as the corner with you.
Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boss?
I'm going to my meeting now, and I may not be home for dinner.
Well, boss, as long as you're going to be out, can I have the night off?
But, Rochester, who's going to stay with Polly?
Polly Smiley, I got a date.
a new girl, eh?
Yeah, and say, boss... Could you advance me, say, about $50?
$50? Who do you think I am, Rockefeller or Vanderbilt?
No, but she thinks I'm Amos or Andy.
Well, here's $5 and tell her you're the kingfish. Come on, Mary, let's go. Gee, you know, Mary, the weather's getting warmer out.
Yeah.
Feeling low, feeling tense. These 8 words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky.
To feel your levelable bend. Gee, that song is catching on fast, isn't it?
It just came out and I heard it on the hit parade already.
I know. Frankie sends me. You know, Mary, sometimes...
Say, Jack, look who's coming down the street.
Where? Oh, yes.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Mr. Kitzel. Say, Mr. Kitzel, tell me, are you... Gee, he didn't stop.
I guess he didn't have anything funny to say this week.
Could be. Well, I better leave you here on the corner, Mary. I'm afraid I'm late for my meeting.
Oh, that's all right, Jack. I'm in a hurry myself. I've got to rush over to the May Company.
Oh, clearance sale?
No, class reunion.
Class reunion?
Uh-huh. Look at my badge. Mary Livingston, class of 33, stockings cum laude.
Oh, well, enjoy yourself, Mary. And if you have time, come over tomorrow, and then we'll...
Jack, look out. That bus is pulling up to the curb.
Oh.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis. By the way, I meant to tell you...
Oh, I haven't got time now. I've got to catch another bus.
Well, I hope you find your hat. See you tomorrow, Mary.
The weekly meeting of the Beverly Hills Beavers is now in session.
Just
the second, Mr. President. You can't call the meeting. One of our members isn't here yet.
Which one?
Mr. Benny.
He'll be here soon, Mr. President. When I came in, I saw him standing on the corner. He was talking to a girl.
A girl? What's her name?
I don't know, but...
Joey, stop that. Remember, you're only 9.
Mr. President, I make a motion that Mr. Benny be fined for being late to the meeting. After all, what's more important, meetings or girls?
Well, Butch, when you're our age, meetings are more important. Then, when you get a little older, girls are more important.
And when you're Mr. Benny's age again, it's back to the meetings.
Joey, stop talking unless you get the floor.
I'm sorry, Stevie.
Mr. President to you.
Well, how about it, Mr. President? Let's fine Mr. Benny. But you can't punish a man like Mr. Benny by fining him. Money means nothing to him.
It doesn't?
No.
You're new in this neighborhood, ain't you, Bub?
Benny is one of the most generous men I've ever met.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm late.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, fellow beavers. You know, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the meeting. A panhandler stopped me and asked me for a bite.
So you bit him. Now let's get on with the meeting.
Did I tell you that one before?
Every week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now that we're all here, let's get on with the business of the day. The purpose of our meeting today is to elect a treasurer for our club. We have 2 worthy candidates, and we shall now hear the first of them speak. Go ahead, Joey.
Mr. President and fellow beavers, I think I am worthy of being the treasurer of this club because I've been a member of the club for 3 years. I'm a hard worker, and I've never been elected to nothing. If I am elected treasurer of the Beavers, the money will be safe with me because I'm only 9 years old and I don't go out with dames. And another reason the money will be safe is because I don't like expensive things like ice cream sodas or chocolate bars. I'm a jelly bean man myself. And you all know that jelly beans are 10 for a penny. I thank you.
Hear, hear!
That's a very good speech, Joey. And now we will hear from the member who is running for re-election.
Mr. President and fellow beavers. I have been your treasurer for a year now and have served you faithfully and well. I've invested your money wisely in an effort to curb inflation and bring down the high cost of jelly beans. These past few months, I've been working on a big deal in your behalf, which I've finally
Consummated.
And now, it's my pleasure to tell you that the Beverly Hills Beavers own 10% of the Coca-Cola machine in the CBS lobby.
President, I should like to ask my worthy opponent to give us a financial statement of the past year.
I'll be glad to. I have it right here in this notebook. Treasurer's report of the Beavers. Dues collected in past year, $15.60. Fines collected, 30 cents. Grand total, $15.80.
That's 90 cents.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, if it pleases our honorable secretary, I wish he would read the list of expenditures.
Yes, sir. Expenditures for 1948. 10 cents for comic book when Joey Clark was sick. 10 cents for comic book when Stevie Kent was sick. $3 for plasma when Jackie Benny was sick.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Well, if there's no further discussion, we'll hold the election right now. All those in favor of Joey for treasurer, raise their hands. Now, let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, all those voting for Mr. Benny for treasurer, raise their hands. 1, 2, 3. Mr. Benny, you're only supposed to raise one hand.
Oh. I'm sorry, really. Did I raise two hands?
Three. One had a shoe on it.
Oh, I was a little over-enthusiastic.
Now let's see those hands in favor of Mr. Benny. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Mr. Benny wins!
Hooray! Hooray!
Mr. President, I make a motion we show our good feeling towards each other by singing our club song.
I second the motion.
All right, let's sing. 1, 2, 3.
For we are jolly good beavers, for we are jolly good beavers, for we are jolly good beavers.
And we own a Coke machine.
Yes, sir.
Feeling low, feeling tense, these 8 words make common sense. The smoker lucky to feel your level best.
Well, I'm sure glad I was elected treasurer again. That Joey didn't have a chance. Well, I'm home in time for dinner. Now, where's my key? Oh, darn it, I dropped a quarter. Now, where did it... How do you like that? It rolled down a crack in the cement. I wonder if I can get it. No, it's too far down. Well, I know what to do. Now, let's see. Ah, this is what I want. Now, which crack did that quarter fall into? Oh, here it is. That'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, the nation's fight against infantile paralysis continues relentlessly. But your contributions must keep rolling in to continue this fight. So please send your dimes and dollars to the March of Dimes. Let's all join in the fight against polio by contributing to the March of Dimes. Thank you. I'll be back in just a moment, but first...
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
You see, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense.
It's good to know that fine tobacco can do this for you. And that's why it's so important that you select and smoke the cigarette of fine tobacco Lucky Strike. For as every smoker knows...
L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Remember, Luckies are the overwhelming choice of the independent experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen, who can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
So when you choose your cigarette, remember that Lucky's fine tobacco puts you on the right level, the lucky level, where you feel your best and do your best.
Feeling low,
feeling tense,
these 8 words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be with you again next Sunday at the same time, same station. And we're going to have a very unusual program with Claudette Colbert and Vincent Price as our special guests. Gee, what that's going to cost.
What are you laughing at?
Who's laughing? I'm hysterical. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
again. I thought I would say hello and mention that the last few weeks spending on the inauguration episodes have been fun. Now, I thought I would mention a little bit about Phil Harris and his wonderful singing that takes place on his show. I love to hear all the songs he sings, and of course Alice Faye does a great job too. The fact that they each have a musical number on most every show, I think is fantastic and a lot of fun to just hear the numbers. I know they repeat themselves every once in a while, but just exciting to hear them sing and get the nuances that are there in each song and each performance. So I hope you're enjoying their singing as well and not just fast-forwarding through it, because they're some fun songs that hold up really well even today. And I hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you again next week for another Friday with Phil Harris and Alice Faye.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday, time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and your Rexall family druggist.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist, taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin, and they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Last week, the Harris family went to Washington to attend the President's inaugural ball. They returned to California yesterday, and as we look in, we find Alice, Phil, and the children at home.
Phil, wasn't that a wonderful trip to Washington?
Sure was. You know, we met a nice group of people there. You know something, honey? Our President, Mr. Truman, is a pretty regular guy.
I'll say he certainly is. But while I was dancing with him, I thought it was very rude of you to keep cutting in on us.
It was not rude. I was being very respectful. Everybody said it was an honor to dance with the President, so I thought I'd ask him.
Well, the children certainly enjoyed their trip back east, didn't you, girls?
Oh, yes. Daddy showed us all the sights in Washington.
He took us everywhere except to that place where they make the money. We wanted to see all that money, but Daddy wouldn't take us.
Oh, you mean the Mint. Why wouldn't he take you there?
He thought it was a waste of time. He said, "You have a larger display here at home."
Phil, you shouldn't say things like that to the children.
You know something, kids? If it hadn't have been for your mother's money, we wouldn't have been able to come home from Washington.
What do you mean, Daddy?
Well, we were having trouble getting reservations on the Super Chief, so your mother just up and bought the railroad.
Phil,
it's now known as the Atchison, Topeka, and Alice Faye.
Oh, will you please stop? Girls, I think you'd better run along now.
Look, Alice, all kidding aside, if your brother Willie ever finds out how much you spent in Washington, he's going to blow his top. There's a guy that saves every penny he gets his hands on.
Oh, Phil, that's unkind. William is very generous.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That kid just throws his money around. He don't care what bank it lands in. How can a girl as generous as you have a brother as cheap as Willie?
I heard that. I resent it. You're uncouth. You're a cad. And good morning, Philip.
Hey, Alice, listen to this kid go. He's really spinning. Old triple tongue Faye this morning.
Philip, please don't pick on me. I feel bad enough as it is.
All right, I'm sorry. What's the matter, Willie?
I didn't sleep a wink last night. My poor head feels twice its size. I feel like I've been out on a binge.
Well, it serves you right. I warned you about drinking them double Ovaltines.
Philip, it's not from drinking. You know I don't drink. But I imagine this is the way a hangover affects you. Just what does a hangover feel like, Philip?
A what?
A hangover.
A what?
A hangover.
How do you spell it?
Stop pretending. You must know what one feels like.
I'd have no way of knowing. Oh. Look, when you see Frankie, ask him. I believe he once knew somebody that had.
Oh, leave him alone, Phil. He doesn't feel well. What's bothering you, Willie?
Well, I'm suffering from an affair of the heart. While I was away, Miss O'Connor broke our engagement, and now she'll never marry me.
What are you kicking about? What do you want to get married for anyway? When a guy gets hooked, he's like a ship that's tied up to a dock. Ah, but when he's single, then he's free to roam the seas with a different girl in every port.
Heave
and a big
two, sailor.
First your engines. You're heading for a reef.
Rammed by my own destroyer.
Well, I have to run along now. I have an appointment with the mayor. The town council's trying to find a new chief for the volunteer fire department.
Why do we need a new one, Willie?
Well, because the old one was very lax in his duties. While we were away, there was a fire in the public library. It completely destroyed the cultural arts and science reading room. Isn't that awful, Philip?
Oh, that's a catastrophe. Now me and Frankie's got no place to hang out.
Well, I knew you wouldn't understand, Philip. And to think, yesterday at a meeting, someone was foolish enough to suggest you as the new fire chief.
Me?
Hmm.
You mean they wanted little old three-alarm Harris?
They did, but I overruled the suggestion. Can you imagine any community with Phil Harris as fire chief? What a frightening thought. Goodbye, Philip.
Goodbye. Guy's always belittling my ability. I think I'd make a darn good fire chief. I got a mind to call up the mayor and tell him I'll be glad to head his volunteer fire department.
Calm down, Smokey. Calm down.
All right. In fact, I'm going inside right now and call the mayor, and if they still want me, I'm going to be their new fire chief. So
but, there. Phil, I don't think you... Oh, well, once he makes up his mind to do something, there's no stopping him. He's always getting himself into trouble. Well, he's as bad as Clancy. Clancy was a peaceful man, if you know what I mean. The cops picked up the pieces after Clancy left the scene. He never looked for trouble, that's a fact you can assume. But nevertheless, when trouble would press, Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, the Clancy, oh, the Clancy. Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom, 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 boom.
Now O'Leary was a fighting man, and they all knew he was tough. He strutted round the neighborhood, a-shooting off his guff. He picked a fight with Clancy, then O'Leary sealed his doom. Before you could shout, oh, lady, look out! Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, the Clancy, oh, the Clancy. Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom, 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 boom.
Now Mulrooney walked into the bar and ordered up a round. He left his drink to telephone and Clancy drank it down. Mulrooney said, who drunk me drink? I'll lay him in his tomb. Before you could pat the top of your hat, Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, the Clancy, oh, the Clancy. Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom, 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 boom.
Now the neighbors all turned out for Cato Gray this wet night. McDougal said, let's have some fun, I think I'll start a fight. He wrecked the hall, then kissed the bride and pulverized the groom. Then quick as a wink, before you could think, Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, that Clancy, oh, that Clancy. Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy.
Clancy low with the boom, 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 boom.
Clancy low with the boom, the back of me hand to you.
Hey, honey, I just talked to the mayor. The job was still open, so I accepted it. All I got to do now is to go down tomorrow and prove that I'm qualified for the job.
Phil, please don't go through with it. Please, please.
But I gotta. They need me. Oh, you ought to be proud. Your husband's going to be the new volunteer fire chief.
Excuse me.
Where are you going?
To call all the women in town and tell them to have their houses, husbands, and children fireproofed.
Well, it's a fine state of affairs when a man's own mate has no confidence in him. I'll get it. That's Frankie. Think she'd be happy about my getting the job. It's a great honor, and I'm proud of being picked as head of the fire department. May not impress Alice or Willie, but wait till I tell Remley. Guarantee you he'll be proud of me.
Hiya, Curly.
Oh, hello, Frankie. Hey, come on in, kid. I got great news for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Frankie, I'm going to be the new chief.
You mean you're going to run between here and Chicago?
Remley, they've conferred a great honor on me. I'm an important guy.
If you were really important, they'd make you the super chief. I'd rather be the 20th Century Limited. That runs in two sections.
Remley, I'm not going to be a choo-choo train.
Well, then you got no news for me.
Wait a minute. Now, listen to me a minute. They've picked me for one of the most important jobs in town. Frankie, I'm going to be the new volunteer fire chief.
Well, clang, 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 and refill my extinguisher. Curly, what do you know about fighting fire?
What's there to know? There's a fire, you put water on it. Fire and water. That's all I need to know.
You might be right at that. Ain't nobody knows more about fire, water, than you do. Curly, there's more to being a fire chief than throwing water on a fire. What do you know about fire prevention measures?
Everything.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions on the subject?
Oh, it's all so ridiculous, but if it'll make you feel better, go on, go ahead.
What's the best way to prevent pyromania?
Brush your teeth twice a day. What's that got to do with preventing fires?
Before I give this up in disgust, I have one more question.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, ask me anything.
In your opinion, Chiefy, what is the ratio of acts of arson as opposed to conflagrations caused by spontaneous combustion?
Remley, that's a well-put question you got.
You like it, huh?
Yeah, but you ain't going to get no answer, so put it back where you got it.
Curly, it's obvious that you don't know anything about fighting fires. If a fire started in this house, you wouldn't know what to do.
Are you kidding? The whole place could be blazing like mad and I could handle it.
I bet you couldn't.
I bet you $5 I could.
It's a bet. You got a match?
I ain't got a match. I ain't got a match, but I got a lighter. Wait a minute, this is my house.
So? We'll get in trouble if we set fire to a stranger's house. You gotta be practical, Curly. Look, the only way to find out how to fight a fire is to start one.
We ain't gonna start no fire in my little abode.
Just a little harmless one, Curly. Yeah. Nothing big. Look, we'll put some paper in that metal waste basket and see if you can handle it.
In that metal... You sure nothing ain't gonna happen?
Will you please trust in me? Now then, have you got any paper we can start the fire with?
No, there ain't no paper around here.
Wait a minute. How about this magazine?
You can't burn that, Remley. That's a February issue of Radio Stars and Television Magazine. It's got my picture on the cover.
So? Won't be the first time you've had a glow on. I just put it in the basket. Here.
Now, I'll start the fire and you put it out.
All right, but be careful, Remy.
All right, all right. Just put this match to it. Hey, Curly, it's starting to catch. As soon as it really gets going,
Phil, did you see my... Phil, the living room's on fire. Put it out.
We just got it started. Frankie, throw some more paper on it now and keep it going.
Okay,
get a great
Chief.
Big one.
Okay.
Have you two gone crazy? Frankie, you put that fire out.
Sorry, madam, you're in the wrong department. I just keep them going. The chief puts them out.
Oh, never mind. I'll take this seltzer bottle and put it out myself.
Alice, don't. Leave it alone. Don't put it out. Don't. Oh, look what you did. You put out my little fire. Now I'll never become the chief.
Phil, forget about being chief. Call the mayor and tell him you can't accept the position. Well, go ahead, call him.
We don't want to.
Frankie, if you don't mind, I'm talking to my husband.
I don't mind. Go ahead and talk. We'll listen, but I'm warning you, we ain't going to pay no attention.
Now, Phil, listen to me. If you so much as light another match in this house, I'll cut every wire in your permanent wave machine.
You wouldn't dare. Alice, I have to practice.
Now, you heard me. I don't want any more fires started in this house. And that's an order.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't you forget it.
No, ma'am. I admire the way you stood up to it, Curly. Now, wait a minute, Remley. She's the boss around here.
Mm-hmm. Must be difficult living under a totalitarian regime. Maybe we can have her exiled to Siberia.
Stop picking on Alice. She wouldn't like it there. After all, you can't blame her for not wanting to start a fire in her own living room. Now, come on. Let's go upstairs in my den.
Yeah, that's just the place. That room's all wood. It ought to burn good.
Now, wait a minute. We ain't going to start no fire in no room. We're going to play it safe, and we're going to put a fire in the fireplace.
Yeah, fireplace. That'll be perfect. We can close the flue and fill a room with smoke. That'll give you the chance to practice rescuing a person from a smoke-filled room.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Hey, that rescue work, that's an important part of a fireman's duty, huh?
Sure.
Hey, look, Remley,
what?
When I take over, this town's going to have the best chief they ever had. You know something?
What?
I'm going to write the mayor and thank him for the opportunity.
Why thank him?
Well, just to let him know I'm grateful.
Yeah?
You got to show your gratitude. Look, Remley, don't forget that in the wisdom of the sages who have lived in all the ages, you'll find a thread of thought that carries through. And then if you'll only take a good look through the pages of the good book, you'll find what was behind their point of view. Because you see, Remley, they took an interlude for gratitude, for the sight of moonlight and the warmth of the sun, and things that are shared by everyone. Every morning when you climb out, just stop and take some time out to thank the man upstairs. So thank your mother and your hard-working dad, and think of the time they must have had. On the road to fame and glory, just save some oratory to thank the man upstairs.
Just a few days, little children, few days, little children, few days, my children, for the folks downstairs.
Just to find a land where everyone could be free, that little Mayflower crossed the sea. At the first Thanksgiving dinner, they said, boys, we picked a winner. Let's thank the man upstairs. What was back of Lincoln when he made history? The same thing is here for you and me. When you face your darkest hour, you know where to go for power. Just thank the man upstairs.
It'll be a new day, little children, new day. Little children, new day was made for all the folks downstairs.
When things looked hopeless, think of General George. And what did he do at Valley Forge? There he stood one winter sundown and made his soldiers kneel down to thank the man upstairs.
It was a new day, little children, new day. Little children, new day was made for all the folks downstairs.
Some
Someday the world will realize in their prayers that someone above runs our affairs. So every night before you slumber for blessings without number,
just thank the man upstairs.
Well, Curly, I got a good fire going in the fireplace.
Hey, did you close the flu?
Oh, sure. What's the matter with you? Smoke's starting to come in the room now.
Oh, good. Hey, now look, here's what we're going to do, Remley.
What?
I'm going to rescue you from this room.
What are you going to do, carry me down a ladder piggyback?
No. No, let's do it the easy way. Look, I got a net. Now all you got to do is to jump out the window.
Okay, Curly. Who, me? I ain't jumping out of no window for nobody. I got too much to live for.
But I need somebody to practice on.
Get somebody else. Must be somebody around who won't be missed.
Yeah, but who can you get that'd be willing to jump out of a second-story window?
Hey, Mr. Harris, I want to see him.
Well, if it ain't Julius, if he won't jump, we can always push him a broom. Hey,
what?
Hey, Remley, listen. Huh? You think we might take a chance and let that little monster jump into our net?
Why not? If we catch him, our drill is a success. And if we don't catch him, our drill is an even bigger success.
Yeah. We ain't got nothing to lose. He's light. He can't hurt the net. Hey, come on in, kid.
What are you guys doing up here? Hey, what's all the smoke in the room?
Hey, well, wait a minute, Judge. We're doing a little research work, and we'd like to have you help us.
Research, huh? Sounds interesting. What part do I play in this?
Well, now, look, your part is very simple, but very important.
Yeah, that's right. All you got to do is jump out of the window. That's all.
That's all he says. What are you guys going against me? Why do you keep trying to do away with me?
We're not trying to do away with you. This is a fire drill, and you got nothing to worry about. You'll be jumping into a net.
Oh, that's different. Why don't you tell me you got a net? That puts a different complexion on the whole thing.
Then you'll jump.
Drop dead.
Let me handle him, Curly. I'll shame him into jumping. Julius, I know why you won't jump, and I'm ashamed of you. You're afraid. You're a coward. You're a yeller.
You said it.
Will you wait a minute, kid? Now, look, you ain't got nothing to be afraid of. When you jump, you'll land in this net.
This is a net? Ain't it kind of small?
Of course not. I caught some pretty big trout in this.
I ain't no trout. I'm getting out of here.
Now, wait a minute, Julius. Wait a minute. Now, supposing you were in a burning building and your clothes were on fire. Then would you jump?
Well, it's different. If my clothes was on fire, I'd have to jump.
Oh? Ah, darn, this cigarette light, it never works.
Frankie! Stop trying to light Julius, it ain't human. Don't do that. Besides, he's still wet behind the ears. He wouldn't burn well anyway.
You guys got the most gruesome sense of humor.
Come here a minute, Curly. I got an idea.
What?
Look, if we lock Julius in this room and the smoke gets thick enough, he'll have to jump.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, When I say the word, we'll run for the door.
Right.
What are you guys whispering about? What medieval torture are you planning for me now?
You'll find out. Let's go, Remley.
Right, quick.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Can you hear it? There goes old Seal Face again.
He's starting to sound pretty good. He'll be ready to jump soon.
Yeah.
Hey, let me out. This ain't funny. I'm too young to smoke.
Hey, if the smoke's so thick, why don't you jump?
I can't find the window.
Hey, this will get out of hand. We better go in there and get him. Open that door.
Oh, all right, all right.
Hey, Bradley, a smoking stick. I can't even see Julie. Oh, there he is. He's over there.
I have to go and look for him. Hey, kid, where are you?
I can hear him.
I'm over here.
I can hear him.
Hey, kid, keep coughing or we find you.
Yeah.
He must be over this way.
Bro. Yeah, keep coughing. Hey, let's follow his cough. Julius, keep coughing. Julius. Julius, why aren't you coughing anymore?
I don't know, unless it's because I found the door and I'm out in the hall. When the smoke gets too thick, fellas, you can jump.
Oh, no. Julius, no, Julius. Julius, open that door. We can't last more than 2 minutes in there.
2 minutes, huh? I'll open it as soon as I read this story in Liberty Magazine. Reading time, 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Oh, no.
Thank goodness you're all right, fellas.
Oh. Every bone in my body hurts.
Oh, I ache all over.
Yeah.
What happened, Alice?
You were overcome by smoke, and Julia saved both of you.
Oh.
Bless his heart.
Hey. Gee, thanks, kid.
Yeah.
Hey, how'd you do it?
That was easy. I found a big net, and I put it below the window. Then I rushed upstairs and threw you both out the window into the net.
Oh, gee, kid, that was swell. You should... Wait a minute. If you were down... Wait a minute, kid. If you were upstairs throwing us out the window, who was downstairs holding the net?
Oh, was somebody supposed to hold it?
Phil will be back in just a moment. Meanwhile, our Rexall family druggist gets a customer just before closing time.
Why, Mrs. Simpson, I was just about to close up. How come you're out on a blustery night like this?
I need some cough syrup for the children or I'd be right in front of the fireplace.
Oh.
Ooh, that wind goes right through my coat.
Maybe we should try overcoats made of wood.
Overcoats made of what?
Oh, I don't mean what you think. I was just thinking of those snug little wooden jackets that are placed on the bottles of flavoring oils in Rexall's laboratories.
Oh, why? What are they for?
Well, we'll take this cough syrup, for instance. Certain fine oils are added to it to give it a pleasant flavor and aroma, so those children of yours will like it better. But those oils lose some of that nice odor and flavor if they're kept in metal containers or exposed to light. So the makers of Rexall drug products keep them in glass bottles, which are then placed in little wooden jackets to seal out the light.
My heavens. All that trouble just so my youngsters won't make a face when they take their cough syrup.
Well, that's the way the Rexall people are, Mrs. Simpson. They give that same extra care and effort to all of the 2,000 or more drug products they make. It's just one more reason why we independent Rexall druggists are always telling our customers... You can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
You know, I'm beginning to realize more and more why you're always out polishing that orange and blue Rexall sign on your window.
Well, can you blame me? That sign means ours are the only stores where you can get Rexall drug products.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Folks, this is Phil Harris again. Somewhere in the United States right now, there is a little boy in a respirator. A an iron lung. He's a victim of polio. And the complicated machine is keeping him alive. But that machine can't continue to operate. And that boy can't continue to live without your dimes and dollars. So support your National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. Join the March of Dimes. Send your contributions to your local March of Dimes headquarters. Thank you.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. This is Bill Foreman wishing good health to all from Rexall.
This is... Boy, don't tickle those musical fugitives from a pawn shop yet. I want to remind the little old lady in Boston that the Fred Allen Show follows immediately over NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking, and are you in for a treat today? I tell you, I was listening to this episode... And, you know, I've talked before about how much I love the last episode with the lunch counter. This has got to be probably in my top five as well. This episode, it doesn't have anything that's as, to me, that's as funny as the lunch counter scene in the last episode. But what it does have... is it just goes from one thing to the next, and they're all funny, and they're all well done. Everything is short, because it's got to be, because it covers so much ground. I don't think I've ever seen a Jack Benny episode that covers this much ground and does such a good job of all of it. Let me just run through a little bit of it. I'm going to give you a little more of a spoiler than usual, but I'm not going to give much away, just to kind of let you know the flow of the show. Okay, we start off... They start talking about Phil Harris, and they've been joking the last few weeks about him getting his own show, right? And of course, this is a decade before he truly does well. Decade, probably 6 years before he gets his own show. Anyway, so they're joking about him having his own show. He comes up with a theme song for his show. Sings the theme song. I love when Phil Harris sings, of course, on the show, and I love when he sings something funny, and his theme song is great. It's about a bubblegum, great, great little bit. Then Mary sings another theme song for the show that's hilarious as well, very well done. Then we get, after this, we have a number by Phil that is fun. Don't fast forward it. Just get up and dance around your living room to it. I was dancing to it earlier. Great, great little piece. So then we get through with that. After that, we have a little skit that goes on about Jell-O that's funny. My kids both loved it. They wanted to hear it over and over again, the little skit about Jell-O. I won't give it away, but it's a great little piece. Then we have... Jack needing to leave the studio and go boxing with Rochester to practice for taking on Fred Allen. Well, earlier we had Fred Allen jokes. Then before they go, we have Andy Devine that comes on, and we get to hear a little bit of Andy Devine, which is great because he's not on that often anymore. Then we get a piece where Rochester, Mary, and Jack are in the Maxwell, and it's a great piece about the Maxwell. Very entertaining, funny piece about the Maxwell. Then after the Maxwell issue, we get the boxing scene, a hilarious boxing scene between Jack and Rochester. And this episode stirs up a huge controversy across the country because Rochester, a black man, is allowed to punch Jack Benny. Now, of course, not really punch him. It's all audio. It's all old-time radio. But in the show, the part of the script is that he punches Jack and knocks, I won't go into what he does, but I don't want to give too much away. But anyway, across the country, there were letters mailed in, phone calls made and everything. But Jack, as usual, when controversy comes, he's brilliant. He doesn't come on and apologize next week. He doesn't come on and defend what he did the next week. He just lets it go, moves on. He realizes that, okay, sure, we get some letters, sure, we get some phone calls, but millions of people hear my show. It's not millions of people that are writing letters. It's hundreds of people, if that. So we can move on, which I think was smart. And I think it shows a lot that they didn't even really think about the controversy they'd stir up just because Rochester's a character, and they were using his character. It wasn't a statement. They had already moved kind of beyond black and white, and they weren't thinking about the impact it would have by having a black man hit a white man on radio. So, brilliant episode all the way through. Enjoy it. I enjoyed it tremendously. Be back next week.
J-E-L-L.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Jubilee. When somebody produces a rabbit from a hat, that's magic and the kind that it takes years to learn. But you can work far finer magic than that and right in your own kitchen, and it's easy. Why, from one package of Jell-O, you can produce a dessert that's magically simple to prepare and absolutely swell eating. What's more, you have a wide choice, for Jell-O is the most versatile dish in the world. Serve it perfectly plain in a mold of shimmering beauty. Decorate it with fruits or nuts and try whipped Jell-O with a beautiful foamy texture and a tempting pastel color. Cut the Jell-O into gay, colorful little cubes and pile them high in sherbet glasses. Why, there are so many ways to serve Jell-O, you'll have a hard time deciding. Whether it's strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, or lime, Jell-O brings you that delicious, extra-rich fruit flavor that simply can't be topped. So look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O, and Jell-O spells a treat. Jubilee, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in this corner at 143 pounds, we bring you that Waukegan bomber, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Thank you, Jell-O. Again, this is Kid Benny, your Sunday night slugger, talking. And say, Don, that was something new, wasn't it? What was the idea of that introduction?
Well, Jack, Mary told me that you were going in for a lot of vigorous training and road work lately. Are you getting ready for a fight?
Oh, no, Don. I was just a little run down and felt that I ought to get back in shape again. That's all.
Oh, then those threats Fred Allen's been making lately have nothing to do with your sudden interest in physical culture.
Don, stifle the thought, please. I don't have to build myself up to fight that guy. Any man that'll starch his legs so they won't wobble. Well.
Oh, you think you could lick him then?
Don, if we ever got in the ring together, I'd finish him faster than a Scotchman eating a paid-up meal in a burning restaurant. And I'm the guy that can do it.
Say, Jack.
Yes, Mary.
I heard Alan's program Wednesday night, and he made one crack that simply burned me up. I thought he went too far.
Oh, yeah? What did he say?
He said when it came to fighting, you were dirtier than a Pittsburgh nudist.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Boy, was I mad.
Well, you certainly acted. Let me tell you something, Mary. The reason Alan talks so tough is because he knows there's very little chance of us ever getting together.
That's right. If he comes here, you'll go to New York.
All right, Mary, go ahead. Make a coward out of me. You're not fooling anybody.
Oh, Jack, what sort of training have you been doing? Anything strenuous?
Well, rather. I get up bright and early in the morning, and Rochester and I toss the ball back and forth, and then we run like mad around the backyard, and then I skip rope.
You make mud pies, too?
Yes, if it'll make you happy.
Well, Jack, that sounds like you're really going in for good, solid exercise.
I'll say I am. And you know, Don, I've also got a punching bag and a pair of 15-pound dumbbells.
15-pounders, huh? Well, how do you like working with them?
I don't know, Don. I can't get them off the floor. I have a lot of fun, though, rolling them around.
Say, Jack, did you tell Don what happened to you the other day on your trapeze?
No, and never mind.
What was it, Mary?
Well, Jack hung a trapeze in that big tree in his backyard and said he was going to swing over to a limb like Tarzan.
Oh, Mary.
So when he jumped, one foot stuck to the trapeze and the other got caught on the limb.
Now, listen.
He was hanging up there all afternoon.
Oh. And what happened?
A bird built a nest in his toupee.
Well, that could happen to anybody. And besides, you know very well that I don't wear a toupee. That was my coonskin cap.
Well, it had a nice wave in it.
Yes, didn't it? Now, let's forget me and the trapeze. Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. How's muscle-bound Benny tonight?
It's all right, Phil. It wouldn't hurt you to take a little exercise once in a while. For a guy your age, you're very flabby.
Oh, I don't know.
You just don't live right.
I don't, eh? Listen, Benny. I take a cold shower every morning the minute I get home.
Well, isn't that marvelous? You know, Phil, if they don't put sun lamps in nightclubs pretty soon, I'm afraid you won't be with us much longer. Incidentally, have you forgotten that little rebellion last week, or do you still intend to do your own program?
Oh, sure, I'm going through with it. In fact, I've been working on it all week long.
Is that so?
Say, Phil, what's the name of that product you told us you were signing up with?
Bixby's Bubble Gum.
Bubble Gum. A lot of bubble gum you'll sell.
Oh, I'll do all right. And boy, I got a theme song that'll sweep the nation. You want to hear it?
No.
I do. I helped him write it.
Oh, this ought to be marvelous. Two minds without a single thought. Go ahead, Phil. Let's hear your theme song.
Okay, hit it, Charlie. Give me a little introduction. Bubble gum, bubble gum. Won't you buy my bubble gum? It's for me, it's for you. Chew and chew and chew.
Oh, brother.
It's so sweet, can't be beat for Tom and Joe and Pete. Chew it up, chew it up, chew it up, blow! My bubble gum.
Oh, so that little thing is going to sweep the nation, eh?
Well, we think so.
I gave Phil another swell number for the middle of the program.
Oh, for the middle of the program. Will it get that far?
Gee, it's terrific, Mary. Sing it to him.
Okay. Thanks for the bubble gum. No matter how you chew, it's always good as new. Cats, they all meow for it, and cows, they always moo. Oh, thank you.
Why, Mary, that ought to be sensational. Huh?
You said it.
Phil, you wouldn't be on the radio 2 weeks with that junk.
What are you talking about? That's classy stuff.
Look what's talking about class. You've got the only pinstripe tuxedo in Hollywood. Class.
Well, I could answer that, but why bother? Fred Allen takes care of you.
Allen, that's all I've heard lately. He's just sore because I exposed him last week. That's
all. Well, he should be. You said he was nearsighted, and he claims he isn't.
Oh, he isn't. Allen isn't nearsighted, huh? Listen, Don, I saw him in a restaurant one night dressed in Portland's evening gown. So he's either nearsighted or a female impersonator, and he can take his choice. It's up to him.
Take it easy, Jack. Allen won't like that crack.
Oh, he won't. Well, I'll be just too perturbed. And now, Mr. Harris, you're still in my employ. So would you mind going over to your orchestra, wake them up, raise your baton, hold your nose, and play something?
Okay, boss.
Go ahead, maestro. Give out one of your musical masterpieces. Wait a minute. Come in. Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I resent that crack you just made about Fred Allen.
Why, are you nearsighted?
No, I'm a female impersonator. Goodbye.
What a pest. I wish he'd stick his head in a bucket of water and let it freeze. Play, Phil.
Umbrella Man, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And say, folks, you know how Phil would announce that if he was on his own program? You know how he talks. He'd say, that was Umbrella Man brought to you by His Royal Majesty of Rhythm. Just call me Madge. Yeah. That was a goodie, wasn't it, folks? Yeah. That was right in the groove. We were in there punching. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, Jack, don't give people the impression that I'm corny.
I suppose you're not. You ought to call yourself Phil Harris and his musical Cobbs. And now, folks...
Wait a minute, Jack. My orchestra isn't corny either.
Oh, it isn't, eh? I could start a husking bee here in about 2 seconds. And now, folks, tonight Don Wilson, that rising young author, has written a little play which he is about to announce. Take it, Don.
Ladies and gentlemen, the scene is a little vine-covered cottage located in the suburb of a typical American city. The time is 7 p.m. and dinner is being served. So without further ado, we take you to the home of Mr. and Mrs. Average American.
Oh, darling, darling.
Yes, Average.
It was so thoughtful of you to have Jell-O for dinner. No wonder it's the fastest-selling gelatin dessert in America today.
Yes, indeed. Oh, Av, there's something that I must tell you. It's been gnawing at my heart for weeks, and I can't keep the secret any longer.
Gee, these sliced bananas add just the right touch to it. What were you saying, dear?
My love for you has grown cold. Please understand, I'm not doing this to hurt you. But tonight I'm leaving you forever.
Gee, this is good. I can understand now why Jell-O sales are breaking records all over the country. Where are you going, dear?
I'm running away with Oliver G. Fairfield, my new love.
I see.
Here he is now.
Hello, honey.
My sweetheart.
Hello, Oliver. Take that. You must make this dessert more often, dear, because it is not only tempting and delicious, but economical as well. And now, ladies and gentlemen, oh, Don, drag Oliver off the stage, will you?
Okay.
And now, folks, going from Mr. Wilson's play to our... Oh, hello, Kenny.
Hello, Jack. Who's that on the floor?
Oliver.
Oh, some twist.
And now, folks... Why, Kenny Baker, you little imp. That was a very funny gag, wasn't it, Mary?
That wouldn't be good if he sung it.
Now, Mary, give credit where credit is due. I said Oliver, and Kenny said some twist. There you are, Oliver Twist.
Oh, now I get it. There's a bet.
I had a hunch there was something wrong there. And now, folks, as I was about to say...
Well, say, Jack.
What is it, Kenny?
Did you hear you-know-who last Wednesday night?
Yes, I heard you-know-who.
Boy, did he give J.B. what was coming to him.
Kenny, you can drop this none-too-deep mystery. We all heard Alan, and I, for one, am not interested.
Well, gee, he certainly answered everything you said about him last Sunday.
With one little exception. You notice he didn't say a word about his being a juggler in vaudeville.
That's right. Why was that?
Because he's ashamed of it. Oh, Don, you remember the Cherry Sisters who used to do an act years ago, and they were so bad that they had to work behind a net?
Yes.
Well, Alan used to work behind them. In fact, when they put in revolving stages, he quit. So now, Kenny, if I've cleared that up, you can go ahead with your song, which we're anxiously awaiting. Wait a minute. See who that is, Mary.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Mary. Let me speak to Buck.
Just a second. It's for you, Jack.
Who is it?
It's either Andy Devine or a concrete mixer.
Oh, Andy. I want to talk to him. Hello, Andy.
Hiya, Buck. Are you coming over today?
Yes, Rochester's waiting downstairs in the car. He's got my boxing gloves and everything I need. Did you ask your pa if I could work out in the barn?
Yeah, he said if it's okay with the bull, it's okay with him.
Oh, well, how does the bull feel about it?
Oh, he don't mind. He went to Pomona to see an old cow he used to know.
Well, that's fine. We'll be leaving right away, Andy. See you in a little while. So long.
So long, Buck.
I'm sorry, fellas, but I have to rush away. You can carry on without me, can't you?
Oh, it'll be a tough struggle, but I think we can do it. And how?
All right, Phil, and none of that bubble gum stuff. This is the Jell-O program. So long.
Hey, Jack, can I go with you?
Yes, but I don't want any wisecracks when I'm training. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Jack.
So long, Jack. Well, what am I standing here for? Sing, Kenny.
A genie with light brown hair, born like a vapor on the summer air. I see her tripping where the bright streams play, happy as a daisies that dance on her way. Many were the wild notes her merry voice would pour, many were the blithe birds that warbled them o'er. Oh, I dream of a genie with light brown hair, floating like a vapor on the soft summer. Just an old love song that brings back the past all anew. Life was then worthwhile as I saw her smile while singing an old love song. I sigh for genie, but her light form strayed far from the fond hearts round her native glade. I sigh for genie with a light summer air.
Rochester, take it easy on this country road, will you?
Okay, boss.
I'm tired of bouncing around.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're strapped in.
Don't blame the car. Rochester, why don't you put some air in the tires like I told you to?
Well, the man in the filling station said we couldn't have no more air till we bought some gas.
Don't alibi. Now, the first chance you get, put some air in those tires.
What's the use? It just goes in one hole and out the other.
They're not that bad, so keep still.
Say, Jack, are you sure this is the road to Andy's farm?
I think so. Rochester, where's that road map I had?
The road map?
Yes.
You glued it on the medicine ball and made a globe out of it.
Oh, that's right. Now, let's see, Andy's farm ought to be around here somewhere. I know we must be close to it.
Hey, boss, there's Mr. Andy's place right down the bottom of this hill.
Oh, yes, there it is. Shut off the motor, Rochester. It's more of a thrill coasting down.
Oh, how much gas can you save on one little hill?
That's not the point, Mary. It's better for the car. Shut off the motor.
Hold on, boss. Here we go.
Yes, sir. Whee! Hey, Mary, isn't this fun?
Yes, some excitement.
Boy, we're really moving now.
Say, boss, you know that loose front wheel we got?
Yes.
Well, there it is, way up ahead of us.
Oh, for heaven's sake, catch up to it. Hurry up.
Jack, we're going too fast.
All right, Rochester, slow down a little. Slow down, Rochester. Step on the brake.
It's down to the floor now.
Well, good heavens, we're heading straight for Andy's barn. Quick, let me have the wheel.
Here you are, boss.
Don't hand it to me. Look out. Look out, everybody.
Here we come, Andy. Ready or not?
Rochester, look out for the barn.
Don't worry. I see it.
Oh, my goodness. What a mess.
Mm-mm. I better fix that fender.
Never mind the fender. Take this pig off my lap. Mary, where are you? Mary. Mary, are you hurt?
No, but it's lucky this goat hasn't got horns.
Thank heaven you're all right. You know, Rochester, this is all your fault.
My fault?
Yes, and whatever the damage is, it's going to come out of your salary.
Doggone, I get docked more than the Queen Mary.
Well, you ought to. And quit making goo-goo eyes at that chicken. It belongs to Andy.
Hey, Buck! Buck!
Here comes Andy now. Act nonchalant, Jack.
Yeah, hello, Andy.
Hiya, Buck. Are you hurt?
No, Andy, but I'm sorry we crashed into your barn like this.
Oh, that's nothing. Pa does it every Saturday night.
He does?
Yeah, then the darn fool takes off his shoes and tries to sneak into the house.
Well, there's no harm trying. Say, Rochester, get the boxing gloves and my training clothes out from under the back seat.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Andy, for letting me use your barn to train in. Where can I get into my trunks?
Oh, right over there in that stall.
Oh, fine. Mary, will you excuse me while I change my clothes?
I'll excuse you while you go to South America.
Very sweet of you. I'll be back in a second, Andy.
Say, Mary, what's Buck doing all this training for?
Oh, he's balmy. He thinks he's going to fight Fred Allen.
Well, is he?
Why, if those two ever meet, Jack will probably haul off and faint.
Well, just the same, it won't hurt Buck to get in shape.
Here he comes now.
Gee, that was quick.
Yeah. Gotta load him with those boxing gloves and red velvet trunks.
Well, here I am, fellas. How do I look?
Mama!
Now, what's the matter?
Boss, when you get off your clothes, there just ain't nothing left.
Well, that's the purpose of my training. I want to fill out.
Say, Buck, Fred Allen was right about your chest. It does cave in a little.
Oh, well, a good slap on the back will fix that. All right, Mary, what are you shaking your head for?
I thought you told me you had muscles.
Well, I have. Look when I pull up my arm. What do you see now?
A hula dancer.
I'm not talking about my tattoo. Mary, you annoy me. Why don't you go milk a cow or something? Well, what do you say, Andy? How about putting on the boxing gloves and having a little slugging match with me?
Oh, no. Nothing doing, Buck. Nothing doing.
I don't blame you.
I'll put them on with you.
Oh, shut up.
Oh,
You don't think I'd fight a woman, do you?
You would if you thought you could win.
Look, I came here to train, not argue. Hey, Rochester, put on the boxing gloves and work out with me.
Oh, no, not me.
Oh, come on, put on those gloves. I'm not going to hurt you.
I know that. I'm just tired.
Rochester, if you don't do as
I... All right, boss, I'm putting them on.
That's better. Mary, hand me my glasses.
How are we going to box if you're wearing glasses?
Well, I got to see you, don't I?
Why don't you put on a suit of armor, too?
Now, the next one who says I'm a coward can't watch. All right, Rochester, and remember, no holding in the clinches, hitting below the belt is foul.
And over the fence is out.
Never mind that. Now, let's get going, Rochester. First, we'll spar around a little and get warmed up. Then I want you to tear right into me.
Okay, let's go.
Attaboy. What's the matter, Andy?
With you and Rochester sparring around, it looks like you're shadow boxing.
Yeah. Hey, Mary, how's my footwork?
Very flat.
It's a good thing they are. It's harder to knock me over. Hey, Andy, watch me get Rochester.
Okay, Buck.
Hey, Rochester, look. What's that behind you?
Where?
Right there.
Ow!
I got you that time, Rochester. Boy, did I give you a black eye.
Black eye?
Yes.
You'll have to peel me to prove it.
You said it.
I think that was a dirty trick, Jack.
Never mind. If he was dumb enough to fall for it, it serves him right. All right, Rochester, come on. Put some snap into it. Say, I'm in better form than I thought I was.
Say, boss, your shoelace is untied.
My shoelace? Which one?
That one there.
Oh, yes. I'll have to... Ooh.
Jack. Jack, get up off the floor. Are you hurt?
Nerve. I'm looking for my bridge work.
Your what?
My bridge work. The darn pole knocked my turf hurt.
What's he saying, Mary?
Rochester knocked out his bridge work.
Oh, that's awful.
Never mind turkey. Help me burn my turf.
Maybe you swallowed him, boss.
Swallowed him? Darn you, Rochester, you're fur.
I'm what?
You're fur. Fur.
Hey, Buck, I found your bridge work.
Well, hand it over. Hand it over.
Here you are.
Thanks. All right, Rochester. Come on, put up your dukes and fight. Rochester, where are you?
I'm up here in the haymow.
Oh, you are, eh? Well, I'm going to wait for you down here if I have to stay all night.
Okay, I'll see you in the morning, boy.
Why, the coward, I'll teach him to knock my teeth out.
You don't have to, Buck. He knows how.
If you want to put your husband into a good humor after a hard day's work, here's just the dessert to help you out. It's the new Jell-O Butterscotch Pudding, the best-tasting dessert you've tried in many a long day. It's smooth as satin, it's rich and mellow with true butterscotch flavor and the good old-fashioned kind. It has a tempting color like golden taffy, and it's just plain mouth-watering delicious. Jell-O Butterscotch Pudding is made with fine, wholesome ingredients, the kind you'd use yourself right in your own kitchen, and that's why it has that truly homemade goodness. Then try Jell-O Chocolate Pudding, rich and smooth and real chocolatey. And Jell-O Vanilla Pudding, creamy and delicate. All three Jell-O puddings are just as appetizing and good as the kind your mother used to make when you were a youngster, but they're far quicker and easier. There's only a few minutes cooking required, and you can't go wrong. So ask your grocer tomorrow for Jell-O butterscotch, chocolate, and vanilla pudding, the real homemade kind.
This is the last number of the 18th program in the new Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. Well, come on, Mary. Let's go home.
What do you say, Jack? Let's go to Earl Carroll's for a couple of dances and have some fun.
No, Mary, I can't. I'm in strict training.
Well, a friend of mine is throwing a big party over there.
Oh, I suppose I could drop in for a little while, huh? Good night, folks.
Kenny Baker appears on the Jell-O program through courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions. Jubilee is from Ferris Honeymoon, and It's the Strangest Thing is from the picture Up the River. This is the National Broadcasting Company.